Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I'd like for you to open your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, praise the Lord, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You this morning for giving us an opportunity to worship together. And I pray that as we open Your Word, that the Holy Spirit may come into our hearts and change us, transform us to Your likeness. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Without looking at an old bulletin, do any of you remember the sermon title of 2 weeks ago? And I thought I could preach a sermon again. You know, you're right. This morning, I wanted to share just a little bit more about myself. I wanted you to know who I am. I wanted to share. And I know I spoke with some that were are right now enjoying Kenneth Cox. I admit I can't compete with him, but they're having a worship experience there, and we're going to have a worship experience here. I want to thank my longtime friend. I used to call him Dr. Chin, but now he's Pastor Glenn Chin and his wife. They're here from Grants Pass. Been longtime friends, and I'm just glad he's here. I like to embarrass him a little bit because he does that a lot to me. Even my realtor is here. And son. All right. By birth, I'm what you would call Guatemalan. By parents, I'm Salvadorian. By choice, I'm American. But by the grace of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, my citizenship is in heaven. 1972. My dad and my mom told us that we were going to go live in the United States of America. U.S. So in 1972, my dad packed a Ford station wagon, one of those brown ones, the long ones. Four of us, kids, my mom, my dad, that made six. And I think there was another lady or two other people. I see two other people in the picture, so there must have been four, six, like eight of us in that station wagon. Now, you would say that we've done eight before in a Beetle or something, but you don't understand. Eight of us, but we had everything that we owned there. So it was packed. I mean, and that's the way we took off. From El Salvador to the border in Tijuana. 7 days driving. Okay? 7 days. And we started on the way. And one of these days you hear. Let me go back here. This is where El Salvador is. So there's Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. This is basically Central America. This is where we started. And we got across Mexico It was in Mexico that we were sleeping in the back, and our heads toward the back of the back seat. All of a sudden, we slid from the back of the station wagon, and we just slid, and all of our heads hit the top of that seat in the back, and there was this crash and breaking of glass, and then I don't know what else. My mom had some glass in one of her eyes. We hit a horse, and the horse bounced off and hit the windshield and all kinds of exciting things to get here. But that's what happened, and all kinds of... I remember my mom getting mad at somebody in the city of Mexico. I think she was going to throw a tomato at somebody. I don't know. It was an experience to get here. And our first home was in the city of... And I could still smell the smog. Los Angeles, California. Any of you know that place? Union Avenue. I remember we had a little apartment there. It was a studio. I remember that my brother, we had bunk beds. They were right here. And we could jump from our bunk bed. It was just about 3 inches to our parents' bed. So there were four of us, my brother and my sister, in one bunk bed. Let's rephrase that again. My brother and myself in one bunk bed, and my sisters up in the other one, and my parents. It was just like a little studio. We thought it was cool. Then we moved to a house that was a little bit bigger by West Lake. It was, and you know, it was here that I started to realize that, number one, I was different. Number two is that some people didn't like me. And not because of what I did, but just because of who I was. So I started to realize this because after school, it was like for a year, kind of like cat and mouse game. The bell would ring, ring, and my brother and I, we just grabbed our things and we took off running. Because every day, after school, for a year, there was this young man that was a little bit older than us that would try to chase us, try to corner us, simply to beat us up. So we would run. We would run. Run home. And sometimes he would give up because we got a head start on him, but it was hard. We had moved into a really melting pot neighborhood. Let's see, on our right-hand side, there was a Mexican family. On the left-hand side of us, there was a Chinese family. In the front of us, there was another Filipino family. On this side of us, there was a African-American family. I mean, it was a melting pot. And that's where we grew up. One day, I was going up. We lived on top of a hill, and then it just dropped off. It was a steep hill to a main boulevard at the bottom. And one day I was coming from school. I was about 10. There was this 15-year-old young man. He didn't really like me or us. I don't know what we have ever done to him, but he didn't like us. And I was going up the hill from school. And as I was going up the hill, he looked at me, I looked at him, and he didn't have to say anything. I started running down the hill. He started chasing me. Now, he's 15, I'm about 10 and a half. And he was, a big 15-year-old. I've always been short. And I can't do anything about that now, so. And I started running down the hill, and I still remember what I did. I went down the hill running. And then I made a right turn on that main boulevard to the other corner where there was a liquor store. I ran into the liquor store. And I saw him just zoom by. He crossed the street. He went to the other block. And, you know, I thought I was going to be smart. And I said, well, what I'm going to do is I'll just chase him. So he'll think, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. I said, I'll just keep chasing him So if he turns around, I'll just be right behind him, and he won't catch up to me. So that's what I did. And here I am. I'm running, and I make another right turn into an alley coming down, and there was a wall there, and I was running, and all of a sudden, boom! He grabs me. And then I saw his hand. He grabbed me, and he went back like this, and when I saw that hand coming, I tried to just go this way, and he hit me in the stomach. And that's when I proceeded to do one of my greatest acts in the whole world, that if it was on camera, I would have been nominated for it. I went on the ground, and I groaned, and I screamed. It hurt a little bit, but not as much as I was portraying. And there I was, just twisting on the ground, doing all kinds of things. And then he grabbed me by the shirt. He picked me up, and he was serious. And he said, if you ever tell your mother, I'm going to kill you. Let me tell you something. I wasn't going to be intimidated by words like that. So I told my mother. 15 years later, but I told her. Yeah, 15 years later, I'm 20-something, and she's saying, why didn't you tell me before? And I said, yeah, like he said he was going to kill me if I told you. So this is what we live. We struggled with all this. Have you ever wondered and sat down why you're different? Maybe some of you haven't, but you know, some of us, we did. The little guy growing up and said, why am I different? You know, I had an advantage over some of my friends. I had what we called a green card. Praise the Lord that I didn't have to try to sneak in through one of the holes there in the border or anything like that. My parents were able to get us all in legally, but I wasn't treated equally. I don't know. And then I decided, well, there must be something wrong with me then. So here's the thing in the mind of a child, what you start doing. Number one, I stopped speaking Spanish. Number two, and you think these are going to be silly things, but remember, I'm a child trying to fit in. Number two, as a matter of fact, a young man asked me this at the school, because I was telling him I play sports, and they said, do you play soccer? I said, no, I don't. I never learned how to play soccer. Why? Because when I was growing up, if you played soccer, you were from down there. And I didn't want to play soccer. So I played football, I played baseball, I played, you know, American sports. Number three, and praise the Lord, I got over this one. I didn't want to eat beans in front of people. I'm serious. If they saw you eating beans, they would call you a beaner. And I did not want to be called a beaner, so I did not eat beans in front of people. You know, because Hispanics, we like beans. And I know some of you do too. So I didn't eat beans. So I grew up with all these feelings. I guess some of them were feeling of insecurity. And some of you heard about my calling when I went to Montemorelos. Well, another good thing about going to Montemorelos is that my Spanish, I was totally forgetting my Spanish. And when I went to Montemorelos, I had to learn Spanish again because all the classes were in Spanish. Now, by that time, the Lord had helped me to realize and to overcome all those feelings of insecurity. As you're growing up, all those feelings of low self-esteem, all those feelings of like, well, why wasn't I born with blonde hair and blue eyes like everybody else? Why do I have to have brown eyes, black hair? Yeah, it was bad. But you know, even as I got older in Montemorelos, That still continued. It's kind of hard to be in the middle of trying to fit into both sides. I remember we used to have a a program called the All Nations Program there at the school, about 3,000 students. And that day, each group sat down. They had chairs, and they would put up the flag of their country, and everybody would sit together. Okay, all the ones from El Salvador would sit on this side. All the ones from Costa Rica would sit on this. All the ones from Africa would sit. And I sat down where I thought I was from, the United States. So I would sit down in the group with the American flag, and I was there. You know, I knew the Pledge of Allegiance, and the ones from El Salvador, that they knew that I was from El Salvador, they would look at you. They looked at me, and even someone would come up to me later and say, "Traitor." You can't win. Traitor. So when I came back, there in Los Angeles, I decided to apply for citizenship out of my own choice. I went early in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, downtown LA, and I got in line. You would think they'd be giving away gas or something, you know, $1,000 vouchers for gas or something. That line went around the building, and it came, and I just gave up. I went a few days. I said, I'm going to stand in line for 4 hours just to get an application. It was only till I came to Portland, here in Oregon, that I was able to go to Portland. Less people, and I was able to get my citizenship. It was easy. You fill out the application, you pay your money, and then you start studying. Can I share something with you? When I was done studying that booklet on U.S. history, I knew more about U.S. history than an American did. Seriously. And so it was a great feeling to hear the words, "Welcome." As a matter of fact, I'll quote it, "Welcome. You are now citizens of the United States of America." Wow. You know what? I have not taken for granted that citizenship. Citizenship in one of the greatest countries of the world. I know we have problems. But let me tell you, I've been in other places, and it's always good to come back home. I don't care how many problems we have, but you know what? I always told people when I was studying in Montemorelos that I would rather get arrested 100 times in the United States than get arrested 1 time in Mexico. It's scary when you get stopped by a police in Mexico. So now, when I was here, they told us that every time you went out anywhere, you had to carry your green card. So there I am, you know, making sure you have your green card, that you don't lose it. Sometimes, you know, after so many years, you kind of forget, but it's still there, you know. It's kind of like when you're driving and you forget your driver's license. Have you ever done that? How do you feel when you're driving and you forget your driver's license? Guilty, huh? So, here I am with a green card. And then it was such a freedom to know that now I did not need a green card. I was a citizen of the United States of America. And so one day, I went to Tijuana. Mexico. You've ever been there? Do you remember this? Coming back to the United States, coming into Mexico was a breeze. Going back into the States, this is what you had to face. And I remember one time, and it's so vivid, and it was so good. I was there waiting in line, and you inch forward, and people come and try to sell you all kinds of things, bubble gum, and it could be 90 degrees, but they're trying to sell you blankets. And I got to where the border patrol man was, and he looked at me, and this is what he said. He said, "Do you have a green card?" Well, I said, "No." But see, he was assuming something, right? He said, "Do you have a green card?" And I said, "No." And as soon as I said no, his eyes lit up like, you know, ding, 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 ding. Ooh, I busted somebody trying to get through. And as he's thinking about that, I just pulled out this. And I gave it to him. He looked at it and he kind of snatched it from my hand. He looked at it. Then I was, here's my car. He's like this. He looked at it. He didn't even look at me. He just did this. And then he looked at the other car to come forward. And I'm like, he said, "Oh, that is a great feeling to know that now I am, just because of this little blue little booklet, I am a citizen of the United States of America." Wow. In the Bible, in this incident that I had, there's an incident that happened to Paul in chapter 21 of 22 of Acts. Open your Bible. Acts 21, 22. What we have is Paul speaking to people. We have Paul being the mob trying to kill him because he was preaching Christ. Imagine that. And at one point, the Roman soldiers had to intervene because if they didn't, those people would tear Paul apart. So that's what's happening. And then he is arrested in the temple. And he's taken to kind of be questioned. But when they question Paul, they kind of also, you know, they don't question him like, you know, "Okay, why are you doing this?" They first would beat them, and then they would question them. That's what they did. And that's what Paul is facing. And then in chapter 22, let's pick it up there. Chapter 22, verse 22. "And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live.'" Now, these are the Christian brothers, the ones that are supposed to be following the law. Okay? "The commander of 24, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted against him." All right? So, Paul is there. And then, look at verse 25. "And as they bound him with cords, Paul said to the centurion who stood by," I like this because I know the feeling. I don't know what kind of face Paul put. Was it just a gentle question? Or was it boldness? I think Paul looked at him and he was very gentle about it. And he said, "Excuse me, sir. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" Just a simple question I'm asking. "Is it lawful for you to, you know, just to put me in jail here? I mean, understand one thing. Being a Roman citizen was a big deal." So he asks this simple question. "And when the centurion heard, he went and told the commander, saying, 'Take care that what you do, for this man is a Roman.'" 27. "Then the commander came and said to him, 'Tell me, are you a Roman?' And Paul said, 'Yes.' The commander answered, "With a large sum, I obtained a citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately, those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. I relate to that story. I like that story because I know what it feels to say I am a citizen, not of Rome, but of the United States of America. I know what it feels like. It feels good. If you look at the statue, there's a statue in Washington, D.C. of Winston Churchill. You might notice something unusual about that statue. One foot is in American soil, and the other foot is in British soil, the embassy there. And what this is trying to say is that both nations claim him with pride. You know, there is such a thing as we call dual citizenship. That means, and I think my dad has dual citizenship. That means that you have citizenship in my dad's case, in El Salvador, and you have citizenship in the United States of America. And that is a good thing to have, because if you are going someplace and you know that they hate Americans, then you pull out your El Salvadorian passport. You know, it's as simple as that. So it's good. Where am I going with all this? Let me go through this verse again in Philippians, because it says our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to spend eternity with you and me. Jesus Christ wants for us to come to His home and just be with Him. He wants to talk to us. He wants to spend the time with us. He wants to tell you the story personally of why He came down to die for you. Now, if we here on earth continue to not surrender to Jesus Christ, if we continue not to do His will, what do you think heaven is going to be like if we end up there that way? A place where you don't want to be. Have you ever been at a place where you don't want to be? School does not count, kids. I've been in places where I don't want to be and I don't like to be. And it doesn't feel very nice. It doesn't feel very comfortable. Could you imagine spending eternity in a place you do not want to be? Our life here on this earth is preparation for the life with Jesus Christ in heaven. And then you know what? We're coming back down here, but not as we see it today. God will recreate this. So ask yourself a question this morning. Are you doing the will of God? Are you doing the will of God? Paul is asking us something that we need to check. Our spiritual passports. What do they say? What does that passport say? Because you and I, our citizenship I hope you understand, is not here. Our true citizenship is up in heaven. Jesus Christ is waiting for us. Here's another question that you need to ask yourself. Are you a pioneer or a homesteader? A pioneer is someone that knows that where he's at, that is not his home. A pioneer is always moving on. A homesteader has circled the wagons. They have sunk down roots. They have invested themselves 100% in what they are doing in this world. And they have totally forgotten where their true home is. So, are you a pioneer? Or are you a homesteader? Where is your true home? Think about that. Where is your true home? Where is your true citizenship? Where do you have that? If you are a Christian, at best, all you are here in this earth, what we are, at best, we are resident aliens. That's the best, if we are true Christians and expect and understand that our true citizenship is in heaven. You are just a sojourner, a traveler. You and I need to remember that. This world is not our home. Max Lucado tells a story of that when he's arriving home in Texas, the plane lands, and as soon as the plane lands, you start hearing all that. But there's something that happens. You start hearing all the people unbuckling themselves, but the light is still on. What does it say? You've been one of those that unclick, huh? Yes, it says, keep your seats fastened, your seat belts fastened. And then he said that the captain came into the speaker and he said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a ride in Texas. Would you please keep your seat belts fastened as we taxi? You know what? He said, people weren't listening. They were getting up, they were getting their things, they were, getting all their luggage. And he said, you know what? Because these people understood that that plane was not their home. As a matter of fact, Max Lucado goes on to say that he did not see any stewardesses trying to pull people out of their seat. He didn't hear anybody complaining, no, I want to stay here. The food was great and the seats are very comfy. I just want to stay here. Leave me alone. No one, imagine that. No one wanted to say that. Why? Because that plane was not their home. They wanted to go home to their loved ones. They wanted to go to their real home. Where is real home for you? Is it Medford? Is it Central Point? Is it Talent? Ashford? Where is home for you? Question, why then are we as Christians so clutching at times to the things of this world? Like this world is really our home. When Jesus Christ comes, are you going to be like, wait, Lord, I don't take me. I like this home. our true citizenship is in heaven. You know, we live in this world. Yes, we have to work in this world. Yes, we're part of the world. Yes. But this is not really our home. Doesn't your heart say to you that we long for the place that Christ has prepared for us? The place where your heart longs to be, that is home. And I want to go home. Do you? Yes, I want to go home. But our citizenship, says Paul, is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. This is our hope. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Sooner than what you think. Are you ready? And I pray that by God's grace, I could say that I am and I will be a citizen of this nation whose author and finisher is God Himself. Do you want to be there? Do you want to be there? There's a song I'd just like to see if we could sing here. By the way, you're going to have to sing. Because I don't claim to be a singer. And I don't claim to be a player either, but I try. I'm going to ask my wife, where is she at? Is she busy with the kids? Okay. You know the words. And you know how to press that big button there. This world is not my home. We're what? Just passing through. Let me get... I'm not going to have time, Charlie, to put the all the other wireless on. So I'm just going to use this. Sorry. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Want to sing with me? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Do you believe that? I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know why? Because it's not our home. We're just passing through. Next week we're going to have a baptism. Elisa Hernandez has requested baptism. And not only that, but the parents, mom and dad, they want to recommit their life to Jesus Christ. And they're going to be rebaptized too. It's all about going home, isn't it? I'm inviting each one of you to be here for that special occasion. I want to go home. And so do you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to be citizens of heaven. I want to thank you for Jesus Christ, for His death on that cross, but also for the resurrection of Jesus. We studied about that this week, and we thank you. But we also thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming soon, and He's going to take us home. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And I pray that the Holy Spirit may continue to guide us and to lead us, to strengthen us, to give us hope, to know that you will come and you will take us home. Thank you for this worship time together. Be with us during the rest of the Sabbath day as we continue to worship your name and to honor the day according to your will. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.